a sweater and stuff, it helps your body to regulate itself much better. So even in Mexico, I wore one of these. And people couldn't understand what it was. But you know what? I got so used to it. Other people were thinking I was sweltering to death, but I wasn't. Anyways, the Lord is so good and so precious and wonderful. And so just want to welcome you in a very special way. I just know that God has something special for every one of us. And even as I prepare, I always think, you know what? Lord, there's people out there that need something special just for their lives. And so I trust that God's Holy Spirit would take what I share this morning and bless it to your hearts and help you to grow and to become what God wants you to do. We only have this one life to live, soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So we want it to be a special time, and time is such an important part. And for you to spend time this morning, what a wonderful privilege to have you come and share. I know it's kind of half empty here. It's only because others are having a service at the campsite. I'm not here to preach at you. I just want to share some things that God kind of put on my heart. My prayer is always that God will challenge our minds and inspire our hearts so that we can leave having received something from the Lord. Pastor Blair has been doing a theme called God Is, Therefore I Am. So I thought, well, why don't I just carry on? And so I'm following his thoughts, and it says, God is a miracle worker, therefore, I am a miracle, or we are a miracle. See, I grew up in a time when there was an evangelist called Oral Roberts. Probably many of you old-timers remember Oral Roberts. And he used to travel around the country and even different parts of the world having meetings, and many people were saved and healed. God had anointed him with a real healing ministry. And even on TV, many people were healed. He would just say, stretch out your hand or touch the TV, and many were healed. And during that time, there were other evangelists that traveled, and God did miracles through them. One of them was in Kelowna. I had very bad eyesight, and I used to wear thick glasses, and I'd always... If I was sitting at the back of a classroom, I could hardly read it even. And then, and so my grandma especially, she really wanted me to be prayed for. So I went and I was prayed for. And you know what? God completely healed me. I didn't even have to wear glasses till finally my eyes are starting to wear out. And even now, the glasses I have has helped me with my reading or with the computer. But anyways, God is a God of miracles. And so Oral Roberts used to use the word expression, expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. And so that's been part of my upbringing and also the spiritual heritage that I have. So I want to introduce my message with a song called It Took a Miracle. And Andy's going to play it for us, and I want you to listen to the words. And she's going to cut it off at the end because he goes into Amazing Grace. But I want you to hear the words of the song, It Took a Miracle.
My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. And miracles, 'tis written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Though here His glory has been shown, we still can't fully see the wonders of His might, His power, until eternity. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and amazing grace. How sweet.
Yes, I was thinking after, you know what? I could have had that played and I could have synced to his lips. I could sound like it sound good. What is a miracle? Well, I looked in the dictionary and I found a good definition, which I thought was really good. And it says, it is a surprising and welcome event that is not explainable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore is considered to be the work of a divine agent, and we know that is God. And so I want you to remember that definition. It's a surprising and welcome event that is not explainable by natural or scientific laws. Well, this week has been has seen the evidence of a miracle. So if you've been following the news, we saw the miracle unfold in Thailand with the rescue of 12 boys, soccer boys, and their coach. What an amazing thing. Amen. There were millions of people praying. And I think some of them, even though they were Buddhists, you know what? God heard. Because you know what? Everything worked according to their plan. At first, they weren't even going to think they were going to get him out alive, not alone maybe staying in there till October to rescue them. That was the worst scenario they could come up with. But anyways, so God not only held back the monsoon rains, but the pump didn't stop till the last four divers were coming out. That was amazing. Even they struggled to come out to show what it would have been like had the pump quit earlier. God did a miraculous thing. So I want to give glory and praise to the Lord. Let's just give the Lord a hand. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then there was another miracle, if others are following the news. There was a plane in Alaska that flew, a float plane, and it never made it to Ketchikan. It crashed in the mountainous region, because there's not many trees there, into the mountain. There were 11 people on board and not one was killed. Only one serious injury was, and it happened in the afternoon, and they were able to find them and locate them and rescue them all before dark, and with a helicopter. So let's give thanks to the Lord. He's good. Amen. What do you do with the miracle? What do you do with it? There are a number of reactions that can be made. First, people just shrug it off. Say, well, that was just coincidence. Or that was lucky. They were lucky. Or kind of the attitude, whatever will be, will be. But as Christians, in belief in a God of miraculous power, it gets our attention. We need to recognize the miracle as something from God. So we look at it with awe, wonder, and intrigue. Because you can't put a special kind of a scientific formula to it and figure it out, because it just doesn't make sense. We need to treat it with respect and thoughtfulness. We need to meditate on it. And we need to give praise and glory to God. And there's some boys and girls here, are there? Good. I just want to tell you a little story, and some of the adults have already heard it. When I went to Bible school, I was just a young man who went to North Vancouver, and then my first place that I was a pastor at was in Fernie, BC. And I was just very young, and I didn't come from a pastor's home. So what happened is, many times I wouldn't feel that I was a pastor. They'd call me pastor, and I said, oh, I can't. And you know what? The devil likes to play on those kind of thoughts and said, you know what? No, you're not called. You're pretending. You're not really called. And so I'd get discouraged and just wondering, did God really call me? And so what happened is that about a year later, we had a family reunion up in Banff, and there were people coming from Kelowna and Edmonton and different areas and going to Banff. And so I decided, well, I'll go and go. And so I had a little 56 Chevy, white and green, if you remember those old cars. Anyways, I took off, and I probably had about 3/4 of a tank of gas, and I drove all the way to Radium. If you know the Kootenays area, and by the time I got to Radium, I still had a little gas, and then from Radium, I was heading off to Banff, thinking, well, you know what? I'll find a gas station along the way, because everything was so busy. You know what? I got into those mountains, and in those days, there wasn't much traffic. And you know what happened? My gas gauge went to empty. And I said, Lord, don't let me get stuck here in the mountains. And I prayed, Lord, protect me, because I don't want to get stuck here. Anyways, as if I heard a voice, it was like this. Drive 50 miles an hour, or in our, it would be 80 kilometers an hour. The Lord just said, you know what? I drove for another almost an hour on an empty tank and drove into Banff, into a gas station, and filled up. I never even sputtered. There's no scientific explanation. I want to give praise to the Lord. He was so good. Oh. And you know what? What was so neat was knowing that when the enemy would come and say, "Oh, you're not a pastor," I said, just look what he did for me. You know what? That was proof enough to say, yes, you've called me, Lord. And that was so great just to know that God wants to bless us and watch over us. There's many, many times that I have experienced miracles through my life. Even just recently, I just want to tell you that my wife and I, we're downsizing, and we wanted to sell our house and move to another place. We're going to move up to Tree Lane in September. So guess what? The Lord sent a family along that bought our house. They needed to sell their house. And within 1 week, they were able to sell their house. So we're out of our house by August. But that's a miracle. That's God's goodness. Honest, I tell you. Right from the beginning, when we were starting to think about selling it, we weren't going to put it on the market. I just believed God for it. And the Lord really spoke to my own heart. Just, I felt as if he was saying to me, you know what? I've sold many, many houses, so I recognize the Lord as a realtor. He's done this for so many people. And so, you know what? The assurance was there. And I kept believing. I'm believing for a miracle, and God did it. All this last week. So I just want to say God is so good in showing us. And he wants to show himself real to you as well. And sometimes it's good just to meditate on what God puts in our hearts. God is a miracle working God, and therefore I am a miracle. So I want you to repeat after me. I am a miracle. I am a miracle. Just a little more. I am a miracle. One more time. I am a miracle. Praise the Lord. My question is, do you believe it? And so I want you to turn to the person next to you. You are a miracle. Just tell them, you're a miracle. You're a miracle. That's what we want. We want God is a miracle. Isn't it? We're amazing people, aren't we? We're miracles. We're miracles of God. In Psalm 139 and verse 14 reads, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I want to say, you know what? It's so sad that the evolutionary theory was ever introduced into this world. You see, we are the highest form of creation. Just read Genesis. We're special. It says, in Genesis, it says, God breathed into man the breath of life. So every one of us, when we're born, God breathes his life into us. I mean, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. I always think that, what an awesome thing. I remember when our first son was born. You know what? It was absolute, you know, any parents here understand that? Boy, this little thing. This, 10 fingers, 10 toes. It's living. It's alive. What a miracle of God. It's really a miracle. And so even when we brought him home, we were in Fernie, and we didn't have a central heating system then. All we had was a stove that had a natural gas heater on the side. And so we put him in the kitchen. I remember we put him in there. And you know what? I would get up all during the night and go down to him and put my head down. See if he was still breathing. You know, if you're not a parent yet, I'll tell you what, it changes your life when those little ones come along. Because it's a miracle of God. Just to see this life. And so every one of us has the breath of God inside of us. You see, you are special. You're unique. No one has your DNA. Everyone is different. And no one has the same fingerprints as you. The other thing is this. You and I have skills and abilities that no one else has, in the sense that someone else may have skills and abilities like you, but only you can perform it with your specific way and style and flair. You see, the sad thing is people are believing that they came from some one-cell creature over billions of years. Science has proven that that can't even be true. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Creation magazine. If you have children or grandchildren, I really recommend that you order these and subscribe to it. I tell you what, every time I get one, I'm amazed at the creation that God has made and all the things around us, just to take time to understand what makes them tick. Absolutely amazing, amazing, amazing. Every one of these creatures are miracles of God. He spoke it into existence, and they perform in the most unique way. One thing that the first time I saw the show about the penguins down in the South Pole there, in all this cold and ice, and how they gather together, and how they even have their little ones. It's amazing. And there can be hundreds of little ones around, but the parent knows which one is theirs. A miracle! Just in all these different things. So this is great. It's been interesting that even some of the so-called modern evolutionists have said that there must have been a designer, even if they don't go on to say it was God. They don't want to quite go that far. Because it can't just happen. Another thing that fascinates me is the miracle of words. What a wonderful way that we can communicate with words. And to think, God spoke the universe into existence. In Genesis, let there be, and there was. Words, powerful, powerful. I'm always intrigued to be around people that speak a different language, but muttering away, and they're talking to each other and laughing, and I can't understand a word they're saying. Amazing. All these different syllables and noises, and it all makes sense. Words. And because God saw that the hearts of men were evil and they were building a tower and they were going to reach up to the heavens, and so God divided them all up by giving them all a different language. So that's why there's languages all around the world. And they're amazing. I have a little boy from India, and if any of you are sponsoring a child there, and they're writing, whoa, it's just all scribble. Like the chickens run across the letter. But anyways, you know what? It's a language. But then we have an interpreter that tells us what they're telling us. You see, even when we think of words, the Bible says that it's life and death in the power of the tongue. We need to recognize that our words can either build up or tear down. And so often we use negative words that hurt, downgrade others. God wants us to use His word, miracle words. Instead of saying, what a horrible day, we can say, it may be raining today, but use those miracle words. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's a miracle word. And so I want to encourage you, don't use those horrible words. Use words that can bless others. And as my old English teacher, I don't know if any of you remember Bernice Girard. She's an old time, anybody who's from the old, you'd remember Bernice Girard. She taught at the college, and she used to say, don't speak to things like people, and don't speak to people like things. And I've thought of that often because we use it. You crazy car, why didn't you start? The car hasn't heard a word. And sometimes we use people, those crazy people. You know, no, don't, no. Each person is a miracle of God. And so we need to respect even God's word that tells us to respect others and to show that God loves them and cares for them. Another thing is the miracle of thoughts. And our thoughts are always not in line with God's wants or desires, because we're influenced by the things around us and by people and circumstances. And the enemy himself wants us to think impure thoughts, be vindictive, be accusing others, angry thoughts, all this. I have to constantly be vigil about this, because I pray a prayer that the psalmist gave to us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my strength and my redeemer. He gives me strength, and when I do wrong, he's the redeemer. I can say, Lord, sorry for having those thoughts, because a lot of thoughts that come to us are not our own thoughts even. Satan is very active in putting thoughts into our hearts and our minds. And I trust that we'll take God's word and make them our words, so that they become miracle words to change our mind and our attitude. I love what Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 says. And I want to read that to you. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I'll tell you what, the more often that you meditate on the Word of God, the less these evil thoughts will affect you. Because as someone has said, when an evil thought comes, I can make it 3 seconds, or I can make 3 minutes, 3 hours, or I can make it 3 seconds and let it go. And so God will help us because He wants our hearts and minds to be pure. One of the things that overwhelms me is creation around us. I'm just, you know what? One day it took time to watch a spider make a web. Absolutely a miracle. It takes and put, you know, kind of, it'll catch the wind somewhere and then comes down, catches something, and then it starts putting its little branches out and then starts in the center, goes around and around. All in a most symmetrical form. I was absolutely amazed. I know that everywhere you go now, you're running into spider webs. But you know what? They're absolutely amazing, those spiders. They are. And then I think of the birds building a nest. I've never seen a bird go to North Island College and then go and build a nest. You know what? God's put it into their very being. And I think of the size of the spider's brain. Man, I probably just not even that size of a head of a pin. And a bird, they can do all these things. And then we have the eagles. We have eagles there. Just to watch them. And all these young eagles that are learning to fly, they just spread their wings, catch the wind, and away they go. It's such an awesome thing. So even children, I just want to encourage you. If you find something interesting, take a book, look at it, and find out what makes it tick. That's why I love this Creation magazine. Because it just helps us understand the miracle of God. Because if you start with the right premise, you'll always come out with the right answer. But if you start with the wrong premise, you'll never come out with the right answer. So I want to encourage you. Take time to give praise to the Lord for all the miracles around you. Every day. To what? If you've been to Hawaii and you come back and said, "We live in Hawaii here. We have our own island here." And so my wife have stayed everywhere from the north to the south because, you know what, you don't have to go off the island. And it's costing a little more all the time every time you catch that boat. But anyways, we have beauty around here that you can't, even if you capture it with a camera, it's never the same. To see a sunrise in the morning, to see as the glow of the orange and the pinks and the reds start coming up. I said, "Wow, God has given color and beauty to everything around us." And so as you do it, see it. Give praise to God. Thank Him. And the very fact that we can see is a miracle. And when you study the eye, you realize the brain is looking at everything upside down, but it soon figures out it has to turn it right side up, and then you can see. You know what? Everything of our own body is a miracle of God. We are God's miracle. And the last thing I want to share with you is the miracle of salvation. As the songwriter says, a miracle of love and grace. None of us can really comprehend what it means for God to send Jesus and Jesus to accept that, to come to this world. He was living in glory. That's where we're going. But to leave that place of splendor to this world and to be willing to live amongst people who hated Him and finally had Him crucified. Don't understand it. It's a miracle of love. It really is. And so, I have a friend that his favorite verse was John 3:16. And he made all kinds of little plaques of John 3:16. I have them on my house, and Even our workshop, anybody comes in can see it, John 3:16. And you know why? Because as I began to meditate on it, word by word, I became overwhelmed. For God, the holy, omnipotent, righteous, holy God, so loved. I don't understand that love, because it behooves any definition, because our love soon grows cold. I mean, we love somebody real good, and then they do something wrong, and pretty soon our love kind of goes down the hill, and it gets sour. But you know what? God's love was so overwhelming. Even though they hated Jesus and crucified him, Jesus loved us. He was willing to come all the way to rescue us, to bring us salvation. And the more I've meditated on it, even in the middle of the night, sometimes, you know, the Lord has woken me up many times, even in the middle of the night. I had to do, actually, the memorial service for this man. His name was Helmut Hahn. He lives in Victoria. And the morning that I was there in Victoria to do the service, God woke me up at 3:16. You know, and I share it with people. Because, you know what? God really cares. Does he? Absolutely. I don't care what kind of life you've lived. God doesn't look at your faults, your failings, or anything like that. God just wants to give you a big hug no matter where you are and where you're at. Because his love is unconditional. He looks past all our feelings and he sees us as someone who needs love, who needs care. I tell you what, when you look at a baby and you see its innocence, and you know what, it can't do a thing. If you don't feed it, it'll die. You don't care for it, you don't love it, it can die. And so what I'm saying is, God's love is such that, you know what, he knows how much love we need and how much care we need. And he doesn't abandon us. Yes, it may seem sometimes you're praying and it seems like the prayer is bouncing off the ceiling. But I want to encourage you. It's going to the throne of God. I had a vision many years ago and God showed me. And I won't give the vision. It was of a bowl that came and it looked empty. But it came three times and then I tried to touch it. And on the third time, it felt like I was hit by a 240 volt. Man, I just shook. And you know, then the Lord showed me, those were the prayers of three blind sisters. I was overwhelmed. And God said, all our prayers are heard by God. And you know what? When they come to the throne, God cleans up those prayers. That's why I couldn't see the bottom of the bowl. They were full of prayers. Because they're pure when they get to the throne. And you know what? Those prayers are not lost. And grandparents and parents, if you've prayed for your children, grandchildren, they're not lost. Even if you don't see answers right away. You know what? Many times, years later, they come to know the Lord. And I think of so often of my own uncle, who we prayed and prayed for. He was an alcoholic, a drunkard. He went everywhere with a bottle in his back pocket. That's basically how he lived. But before he died, he gave his heart to Jesus. I tell you what, a miracle of grace, of God's love and grace. So don't despair if you don't see answers to your prayer, because God's hearing them all the time. So I want you to repeat after me. I'm going to just say, I'm a miracle of God's love and grace. Let's say it together. I am a miracle of God's love and grace. Let's say it again. I am a miracle of God's love and grace. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that you're a miracle-working God. And because you are, we are a miracle. And may our thoughts be towards giving you praise and honor for all the miracles we see around you every single day. Pray that, Lord, you would touch our hearts and lives in a way that we could prove your faithfulness to us every day to give you thanksgiving and praise. So, Lord, we commit this message to you. Continue to speak to our hearts and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.